First up, over 1,500 families and young people with disability have responded to a nationwide survey, which revealed 80% of participants believe the government's Thriving Kids rollout window leaves little time to prepare, risking vital supports. The survey by Children and Young People with Disability Australia was launched following NDIS Minister Mark Butler's announcement of the program back in August. Thriving Kids is an alternative set of supports aimed at some children with developmental delay and autism who are under the age of 9. But the program is set to launch in July 2026, giving governments and providers just 9 months to prepare. Powered Media's reporter Emma Myers spoke with CIDA CEO Sky Kokoschke-Moore about the survey results.
In late August and early September, Children and Young People with Disability Australia ran a public survey shortly after Minister Butler announced Thriving Kids. We wanted to really get a sense from the community about what they thought of the announcement and what they hoped Thriving Kids would deliver. We heard from more than 1,500 families and young people who responded to a series of questions. So we asked, what sorts of supports would you like to see out of Thriving Kids? And overwhelmingly, allied health supports are really in demand. So when I talk about allied health, I mean things like occupational therapy, speech therapy, physiotherapy, and psychology. And parents also told us that they are very interested in parenting programs as well.
What were some of the concerns outlined in the survey?
Sadly, we heard that the vast majority of respondents felt really worried about the timeline. Some were fearful. 51% were confused. So I think that's not surprising given the announcement came quite out of the blue and with not a lot of information wrapped around it. So we also need to keep in mind that this announcement comes on top of a couple of years of consultation regarding foundational supports. And again, families and young people still not being sure what foundational supports are. So we're having uncertainty laid on top of more uncertainty. Other things that families and young people told us was that they felt nervous about the idea of schools being responsible for delivering Thriving Kids. That's due to a couple of reasons. One, an understanding and an acknowledgement that teachers are already stretched and schools are already stretched, and this would be another responsibility for them to fit into their day. What we did hear, though, is that families and young people are really concerned about a lack of choice and control and individualized supports where Thriving Kids programs are delivered in a block-funded model. A lot of respondents said that they were worried that having block-funded services would mean children would be forced into a one-size-fits-all program when we know that one-size-fits-all never works. And so no matter what is delivered through Thriving Kids, it's really important that those individual needs can be met and that any services, if they are block-funded, can be shown to have a strong evidence base and that children and young people will be able to benefit from the supports that are being provided rather than any harm being done.
We heard from the Thriving Kids Inquiry on Friday. What did that reveal?
I believe it was one of the first public hearings for the parliamentary inquiry. There are some more public hearings coming up later this month. I understand that a few disability organisations presented on the day, and that what they were really concerned about was the timeline for rollout and also similar sentiments around wanting to make sure that whatever Thriving Kids looks like, it meets the genuine needs of children, particularly when the government has signalled that they are going to move to change the eligibility criteria for the NDIS starting in the middle of 2027.
What are your hopes for this survey? How do you think these findings will shape the future of Thriving Kids?
CIDA is really fortunate because we are on the Thriving Kids Advisory Group. We launched this survey long before we knew that we were going to be invited. So what we really wanted to do was make sure that whoever was making decisions about Thriving Kids had those decisions informed by the views of the community that will be the ones accessing those supports. So we hope that by sharing with the government and with the advisory group that families are really worried about the timeframe for the rollout, that the government will consider how they can meaningfully roll out a program in such a short space of time in a way that won't do any harm and in a way that children won't be worse off. And we also hope that the survey will demonstrate for the government the sorts of supports that families of children under 9 really need. And so our survey has told us that things like psychology, occupational therapy, speech therapy, physiotherapy, and parenting programs are right at the top of the list of the supports that really make a difference. The federal parliament has set up an inquiry into Thriving Kids. I'd really encourage anybody who is listening, who has an interest in shaping what Thriving Kids looks like, to make a submission to that inquiry. That committee is going to produce a report which will be presented to the Parliament, and the Thriving Kids Advisory Group will also be reviewing it. So all the input that we can get from the community means that Thriving Kids will end up being a better product at the end of the day.
Children and Young People with Disability Australia CEO Skye Kokoschke-Moore speaking with Powered Media's reporter Emma Myers.